Right, we're holding Kuf Dalad Amud Beis, the Mishnah. So we've learned in the last couple of Mishnayos what happens when a person says that I'm selling you a base core offer, when he says generically without specifying anything else, versus when he says hein choser, hein yeser, a little less or a little more, or when he says mid bechevel, which means measured with a rope, which means something more exact. So now our Mishnah says, what if he uses both expressions which contradict each other? He says, I'm selling you a base core measured with a rope, but it might be a little more, a little less, or a little more. So then, so then the hein choser hein yeser overrides the mid bechevel. And meaning, in other words, therefore, as we learned previously, then you have leeway of up to 7.5 Kavim per kur, 1/45. On the other hand, hein choser hein yeser mid bechevel. But if he says first hein choser hein yeser, a little less or a little more, and then says mid bechevel measured with a rope, then the other way around, bitul mid bechevel hein choser hein yeser. Then the other way around, the mid bechevel, which he said last, overrides the hein choser hein yeser, and then it means it has to be exact. And if there's any variance from a base core, then we have to adjust the price accordingly. Dibre ben Nanas. That's what ben Nanas says. So ben Nanas is a Tana. We find him here and there in Mishnayos. We're going to have him at the very end of our Masechta as well.
He's one of those Chokim.
What?
What's the famous thing? Is what he has a Chokim Shvua or... No, that's a...
No, that's Sumchus holds that Momen Amut was suffered.
There is something that he says that...
Ben Nanas, yeah, you have, he comes up a lot in Dine Momenas in particular, but yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah. Yeah, we're gonna have him at the end of the Masechta, actually, where Rabbi Shmuel says on him, that if a person really wants to become wise in Dine Momenas, he should serve and learn directly under Ben Nanas.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Abba bar Memel Amar Rav, Chokin Olof Chaver of Al Ben Nanas. Ben Nanas' colleagues, the other Chachamim, argue on him. They hold, now Ben Nanas is saying, as saying that Tfois Loshen Achra, that what you do is you look at the last thing he said and you go according to that. Now Rav is telling us that the other Chachamim disagree with that and they hold it's a suffix. We don't know whether Tfois Loshen Rishon or Tfois Loshen Acharin. So according to them, it would be a matter of suffix, and we wouldn't necessarily say, as we're saying in the Mishnah over here, that you would all just go according to the last Loshen, rather it would be a suffix. There is a discussion of Rishonim. What exact case are we talking about over here? Are we talking about that the Lekeach already paid the money or not? The Rambam holds that there's no difference, and the Ravid disagrees with that, and there's discussion back and forth about various angles and details within that.
I'm assuming that you pay the money when you know you're getting what you're supposed to get.
Well, but not necessarily. They might have be paid in advance before they actually measured out the karka. So according to the Rambam, there's no difference either way. So now whether the halacha is like Ben Nanas or whether the halacha is like the Chachamim, that we're going to get to later on in the sugya. But anyway. So the Gemara says, "My Kamash Malon." Well, what is Rav's Chiddush in telling us that? Tanena, we already learn in a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Maisa b'Tzipori, it happened in the city of Tzipori. The Echad Shesachar Melchot Mechaveroi, that a person rented a bathhouse from somebody else. The Shneimos Zehuvim Lashana, the rate was 12 gold coins per year. Dinner Zav L'Chodesh, one gold dinner per month. And now the question is, what happens in a leap year? So here we also have Loshen Rishon versus Loshen Achron. If we say Loshen Rishon, then we would say he pays 12 gold coins regardless, and therefore, even if it's an Ibru year, he's getting a 13th month thrown in free. If we say Tfois Loshen Achron, then we would say he has to pay an extra gold dinner if he wants it for the 13th month. So here the double expression again, Shneimos Zehuvim Lashana, Dinu Zav L'Chodesh is one of those Tfois Loshen Rishon, Tfois Loshen Achron things because the two statements contradict each other. The case was brought to Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Yossi, and they said, Yachloiku as Chodesh Ebru. They divide the rent for the half a month. They divide the rent for that month because it's Momen Amutal B'Safet. And we don't know whether Tfos Loshen Rishon or Tfos Loshen Achron. So we see clearly that at least Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Yossi disagree with Ben Nanas, and they say according to Ben Nanas, you would have said you go according to Loshen Achron. He said Dinuzal Lachodesh, and therefore you should have to pay for the 13th month. So it's very clear that the Chachamim disagree with Ben Nanas. What's Rav's point in telling us that? The answer is Ime Hossam. If we only had that statement in the Mishnah, Hava Amina Hossam Hu Deikolamema Mehada Kahodebe. Because there you could say that actually he may have changed his mind. You know why? Maybe we would say, you know why the Chachamim disagree? Maybe even Ben Nanas would agree over there that Tfos Loshen Achron. When he says Shnei Mosu Zehovim Lashona, and then continues Din Yozav LaChodesh, he may have actually been changing his mind. He may have been meaning to say, I'm renting it to you for the whole year. And usually the din would be schirus enim shtalemus evel of a soif. Usually the rental is payable only at the end of the term. So if he stopped there, then it would mean not only that he's getting only 12 gold coins, but it would also mean the guy wouldn't owe it to him until the end of the year. Now he says dinu zahal v'chodesh, meaning that I want the rent every month. And I can break the lease anytime at the end of every month. So therefore, now you could have a good reason to say Tfos Loshen Achron because he may have changed his mind. On the other hand, you could say that the Loshen Achron over there is, so that's one way of looking at it. Hosam Hu De'iklamemer Mehada Kohadebe. You could say that he changed his mind. He actually wants to rent on a monthly basis and to be able to terminate the lease at the end of every month. On the other hand, you could also say that he means to explain himself to say that maybe you want to go according to Loshen Rishon, and he's clarifying with the Loshen Achron that he's only explaining himself and saying that it will be 12 dinar per year, but it will be payable every month. So in other words, maybe he means to change both things. First of all, that you should pay me monthly and I should have the right to cancel the lease at the end of every month. And therefore, if you want it for the 13th month, you're going to have to pay. So does he mean that? Or does he mean I do want the rent every month, but I'm still willing to say it's 12 dinar for the whole year. And if there's a leap year, then we'll throw in the 13th month for free.
I'm thinking that maybe he's saying this because he knows it's a leap year coming.
He doesn't necessarily. In those days, leap years were fixed by Beis Din, and then he wouldn't necessarily know that far in advance. Now, it depends. For example, in principle, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Beis Din could announce any time after Tishrei that the coming year is going to be a leap year. In practice, most of the time, they would announce it other time, but so conceivably, if he's renting him the place around that time, then he might know that an Ibra year is coming up, but otherwise he may have no way of knowing.
He's covering himself in a way.
Right, but that's the thing. We don't know. So there we could say, in that Mishnah, not necessarily would Ben Nanas even disagree, because he would say that there you could say, you could look at it either way. It's not a suffix. Or it is a suffix. Even Ben Nanas would say it's not such a given that Tfos Loshen Achron. Maybe there you have this reason to say Tfos Loshen Rishon, and he's not actually changing his mind by saying one gold dinner per month. He's only clarifying what he said before. I expect to get the rent not at the end of the whole 12 months, but rather month by month. So Aval Hocha Devade Kahodebe, but here on the face of it, he's definitely changing his mind, because there's no way that you could say that Midah Bechevel as measured with a rope, which is exact, and Hein Choser Hein Yeser, a little less or a little more, which is inexact. There's no way to make those two things work together. So then Devade Kahodebe. So then on the face of it, there's no question that he's changing his mind. Emaloi, you would say maybe the Chachamim don't disagree and would agree that Tfos Loshen Achron. Kamash Malon, therefore, Rav has to tell us that no, the Chachamim do in fact disagree. It's not because when it comes to the case of the bathhouse, What it is actually they have a suffix, whether Tfois Loshen Rishon or Tfois Loshen Achron. So we're not going to say that, we're not going to say Hoderbeid necessarily that Mehadaka Hoderbeid, that he changed his mind. We're not necessarily going to say Porushi Kamafarish, he may be explaining himself. We have a suffix, which one we go according to, and therefore they're saying that, as a suffix, we have to say Yachloku, that they divided up. The Ritva makes a point that the Gemara's assumption over here is that if he actually meant to change his mind, then he would actually say so. A person might say something and then say, you know what, wait a minute, that's not what I meant. I meant something else. And then there's no question. Then we would say Tfois Loshen Achron. But when he doesn't say something like that, is why we have reason to say that it would be a suffix, or even that maybe we would go according to his first Loshen. The Tosfos Rid adds in that connection. He says that you could have, for example, so what we're saying, what Rav is saying is the Chachamim are going to take the view when a person says these two lashonis that seemingly that contradict each other. It's not necessarily that he actually meant. Obviously, a person doesn't usually mean to contradict himself. It means he misspoke. He wanted to say one lashon, and then he wanted to say something else to strengthen it, to back it up, and by mistake he said something different. So, for example, let's say we would say he wanted to say with 12 gold dinner per year, and let me clarify that. By that I mean 12 gold dinner, regardless whether it's a leap year or not. And then by mistake he said that he said one gold dinner per month. So it sort of fits with what the Ritva is saying, that if he actually meant to change his mind, he would have said so. 12 gold dinner per year. Wait a minute, but what if that had been a leap year? You know what? Let me better say one gold dinner per month. The fact that he didn't say that allows us to say that on the one hand, he might be changing his mind. On the other hand, he might be clarifying. And therefore, the Chachamim are saying, in both cases, the case of our Mishnah and the case where they clearly contradict each other, and the one in the case of the bathhouse where they don't necessarily contradict, that either way, the Chachamim are saying that it's a matter of suffix. So that's, and therefore, Yachloku. And again, you have the machloikos of Yachloiko, whether the Yachloiko itself would apply, in all cases, or does it matter now in the case of the field, for example, who's the muchzak right now? Is it the original owner of the field, whether it was what's called cheskas morakama, he has the chazaka, that he's the original owner of the field, or the buyer, if he hasn't given the money yet, is muchzak in the money. And maybe even if he's paid already, so if he's paid already, on the face of it, he doesn't have a chazak on anything yet. But again, if he doesn't have, if he hasn't paid yet, then if he's already paid, then he doesn't have chazak on the money yet, and he doesn't have chazak on the field yet either.
Why not? He paid for the field. By giving the money,
So if he actually paid the money, right? So if he paid the money, that's true. Then karka is nikna v'kesef v'shtar v'chazaka. That's true. So he's made at that point a valid kinyan, but he hasn't actually made a chazaka on the field yet. In any case, again, the Rambam holds that there's no real difference over there either way. We're going to say that either the din that we're going to say that of what the Chachamim hold about that, about Yachloiku, is going to apply whether he paid already or not. So in fact, the Ravid says that, listen, if the Lakeah hasn't paid yet, then he can't take all the money from him and suck it. If he already paid the moicher, then you can't make him return to the lakeach misafik. And in fact, there's an explanation in turn to explain the Rambam that you would say the lakeach always the lakeach definitely has to pay something. So we just don't know how much. So therefore, his chiyuv is more clear. The chiyuv of the moicher to return him something is a suffix, and therefore there and then the Rambam would therefore say moitzim chaver l'varaya. In fact, within the Rashbam's explanations over here also, we have a bit of a stira between what the Rashbam says in the course of the sugya, because in one here on Amar Aleph, he explains that the main thing is that the reason why the Chachamim are going to say Holachacha, well, so let's learn Shmuel first, actually, and then we'll talk about how the Rashbam seems to contradict himself. So anyway, okay, so that's Rav so far. So Rav is saying, in short, that you should know Benanis and our Mishnah is saying you always go according to Lashon Achron. The Chachamim, in the case of the bathhouse, namely Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Yosi, at least, are saying that you go according to that it's a suffix and therefore they divide it. And we're saying if it hadn't been for Rav telling us, we might have thought there's no machlokas in either case. And note, we're being told that Benanis and the Chachamim would argue in each case. Now, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zud Divrei Benanis. Now, on the other hand, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, he also says that our Mishnah is only according to Benanis. Abba Chachamim, Oynim, Holachacha, Pachas, Shabbalashonis. The Chachamim say, according to Shmuel, differently, that you go according to the lesser of the two Lashonis, whichever one reduces the power of the Lekeach. Because, since again, we do have the suffix, whether we go according to Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron, so the one who's Muchzik in the land has Yodei Al Yonah, he has the upper hand. So in the case of the bathhouse, that would mean that, that he would be entitled to that 13th month's rent, because he's the one who's Muchzik in the bathhouse. In the case of our Mishnah, we would say that you would go according to whichever one is going to make the Lekeach's position weaker. So in our case over here, in our Mishnah, he said one Lashon, that means that it has to be very exact. Another one meaning that it can be a little more or a little less. So it depends. If he ended up giving him extra, then the buyer is going to have to give him back that extra land, because I said midi b'chevel. On the other hand, if he gives him too little, then we're going to say, yeah, but I said hein choser, hein yeser, and therefore you're moichel on up to 7.5 kavim per kor. So either way, one way or the other, the Lekeach is going to lose out. And the idea being, because the Rashbam says, because the Moicho is Muchzik in the Karka, because he has the Chazaka on the land, because until now he owned the land. Now on Omer Beis, the Rashbam says something different. He says that the seller is considered the Muchzik is because he already received the money. So the Rashbam seems to, on the face of it, seems to contradict himself, and there are Achronim who discuss what the Rashbam would hold on that, whether he would hold more like the Rambam or more like the Ravid in that Machlokas before. Anyway, so again, so Shmuel is saying that the Chachamim hold that you go according to Pachas Shabbalashonis, according to the Chachamim. Now, when Shmuel says Zu Divrei Benanis, does that mean Zu V'loy Sevirle? Does that mean that he's telling us this is what Benanis says? Now Rav had used the expression Chalukin Olav Chaverov Al Benanis, that Benanis' colleagues disagree with him. So fine, so it doesn't sound like Rav is taking a side on it one way or the other. He just wants us to know, you should know, when our Mishnah says Divrei Benanis, you should know that that's not universally agreed to. Rebbe is not just quoting Divrei Benanis because it so happens that he's the one who said this in the Beis Medrash. It's actually that the other Chachamim disagree with him. But Rav is not really taking a side so far, at least, on who the halacha would be like. When Shmuel, on the other hand, says Zu Divrei Benanis, these are the words of Benanis. So it sounds more like he's saying these are his words. But you should know we don't actually hold like him halacha. The Ritva points out another point as well: the fact that he uses the expression Av Chachamim, where Rav had used the expression Chalukin Olav Chaverov. Now we know the halacha is generally like the Chachamim, so that suggests much more that Shmuel holds the halacha is like the Chachamim and not like our Mishnah. So does that mean so Zuva Loisvirle? So you're telling me that he's saying this is what Benana says, but we don't actually hold like him. But Rav and Shmuel, the Amitavayu, don't Rav and Shmuel both say, which we've learned earlier, in our Masechta, if Reuven says to Shimon, I'm selling you a core of grain, for example, for a core which contains 30 saw, I'm selling you for 30 selah, Yochalachs by a filibasach right now, then he's able to change his mind and retract the deal even when they've measured out 29 saw and there's only one saw left to go, because the whole thing is one bulk purchase. And until he does Meshicha on the whole thing, he hasn't been poina all of it. On the other hand, on the other hand, kur b'shloshim saw b'sela ani marchalach. But if he says, I'm selling you a kur for 30 sloyim at the rate of saw b'sela, one saw per sela, which is also one of those things of loshen rishon and loshen achron, because do we mean to make it one bulk purchase, or do we mean that it's 30 separate purchases of one saw each? So then Rishon Kona. So then Rav and Shmuel both say that each one he's Kona as he does Meshicha or some other form of Kenyan with it. When we learned this previously on Daf Pehe, so Bandak Pevav, then we discuss the point, whose Kali are we using over there for the measuring? Because if we're using the Merchers or the Kurvala Chaos Kali, and where is the Kali located, which has implications as far as whether we're Koina. But the point is, in other words, that they're both saying that when he says Kur Bishloshin Saw Basela, then we're saying that we go according to Loshan Akron, and we say that we say that each one is considered a separate transaction, and therefore the 29 that have been measured out already, and that the Lakeach was Koina in one way or the other, whether with his keli because it's in his property or whatever, however, as we discussed over there, then he's koine, and only the 30th would be most could be able to change his mind. So therefore, that shows we do go according. So Shmuel does hold. We go according to Loshen Achron, like Ben Nanas. So Ella Zu Usvirle. Fine, you can say that maybe Shmuel is saying Zu Divrei Ben Nanas, but he doesn't mean to say by that I disagree with Ben Nanas. I do in fact agree with him. I do in fact hold with him that Tfos Loshen Achron. Further on, the Gemara is going to reject that, and Rashbam points out that really it is a bit of a doichik to say that Zu Divrei Ben Nanas means to say that he does hold like him. So soon the Gemara is going to change its mind on that and learn differently. But for right now, we could say, in order to resolve the contradiction, we can say b'doichik that maybe Zu Divrei Ben Nanas v'chachamim omrim nevertheless means that he does hold like Ben Nanas.
That Shmuel
holds like Ben Nanas. Well, the question now becomes the other way around. Umi Svirle, does Shmuel in fact hold like Ben Nanas? V'hama Shmuel says, in connection with the din of the bathhouse, where again we're saying you have the question of whether what happens as far as the 13th month. Does he get it for free? Does he have to pay for it? Or, as Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Yossi had said, does he pay for half of it? So Shmuel said, you know what the case of the Mishnah is, that he's paying half, is b'baba emtza chodesh askinan. Specifically, when the owner of the bathhouse comes in the middle of that 13th month and says, where's my rent? So then we're saying, So he comes to Beis Din in the middle of the month. Either pay me this month's rent or get out of here. So now we would say that the mammon has its chazaka. So whatever he was there so far for whatever he used the bathhouse for so long, we can't take away from him because maybe Loshen Achron, whatever the part of the month that hasn't passed yet, you could say that the owner of the karka, the owner of the merchatz is the mochzet, and therefore he should be entitled to take it back. So Shmuel says specifically the Mishnah is talking about that case. But Shmuel says if the landlord were to come at the beginning of the month, then he would be entitled to the entire month's rent, or else the guy has to leave. And if he comes at the end of the month, then it would all belong to the socher, and he wouldn't have to pay anything at all. Because each one is mukhsif respectively. Now, the point being, in other words, that Ashbam says, since Shmuel did not have to explain the Mishnah that way. He could easily have explained that the Mishnah is talking about that the Mishnah is saying it doesn't matter whether he came at the beginning, middle, or end of the month. He could hold like Rav that was saying it's a matter of suffix. The reason why we're saying Yachloiku in the Mishnah over there in Bava Metzia is because of suffix. He could instead explain like Reb Nachman does in the Gemara over there, which is also where Reb Nachman also gives reason to say over there that there's no difference whether he came in the beginning, the middle, or the end of the month. The very fact that Shmuel is forced to say that Mishnah is talking about specifically where he came in the beginning of the month, so then that shows So that shows he must necessarily disagree with Ben Nanas. So he's saying, in other words, that only we don't go never mind Loshen Rishon or Loshen Achron. We go strictly according. It is a matter of suffix, and therefore, in order to resolve the suffix, we're not going to say, as Rav and Rav Nachman do, that always throughout the month there's a suffix. No, we're going to say we resolve the suffix based on looking at who's the muchzik right now. Tosfos gets into some discussion over here b'chlal about when we say that as a result of suffix, then we say yachloiku, and when do we say that because of a suffix we allow a person to keep his chazaka. So Tosfos discusses a number of points over there you do have. The one consideration is, for example, if he came only at the end of the month, implicitly by doing that, he's agreeing that the other guy was entitled to be that month there. Otherwise, why didn't he come at the beginning of the month and say? Anyway, so the point is that Shmuel seems to not hold like Ben Nanas. Otherwise, if he actually held like him, then it would be much easier to say that mission, like Rav does, that the Mishnah is talking about no matter when the landlord came, beginning, middle, or end of the month. Or like Rav Nachman does, who also says the same thing. And then say, nevertheless, throughout the month, it's always a suffix, and therefore yachloku. The fact that he doesn't say that implies that only because he's saying, in other words, that yes, the Chachamim are saying that it's a matter of suffix, but therefore, instead of holding, we can't hold like Ben Nanas and say that we just go according to Lashon Achron, we have to look at the Chazaka, we have to look at the current Chazaka. So that suggests that he doesn't agree with Ben Nanas after all, not like we just said. So after all, we're going to say that yes, when Shmuel says Zu Divrei Ben Nanas, he does mean that he disagrees with him. He does say that it's a suffix, and therefore you're going to have to go according to the Chazaka. What about the case of the 30 saw? The Halsim Time and Mayim is from the toughest. You know why? Because over there, in the case of the 30 saw, has nothing to do with Loshen Rishon, Loshen Achron. Regardless, even if the guy had said the other way around, if he had said, I'm selling you one saw per sella, so that it comes as a one saw per sella, 30 kur for 30 sloyim, either way, we would say that Rishon Kana. Because we would still have the same suffix, whether we go according to Loshen Rishon, Loshen Achron, and the difference is, Tayamai, Mishim the Tophis. The reason is, when it comes to the bathhouse, each one is holding on to half of it. Because again, Shmuel is explaining that the case of that Mishnah is where he came in the middle of the month. So one of them already has he's tofus in the fact that he was there for two weeks, and the other one is tofus in the money, and he's tofus in the money. So in the case of the 30 saw also. Hachanami, Hotophis. Well, there also, he's Tophis. So, in other words, the Shmuel would say that, he's already Tophis in 29, exactly. So Shmuel, in fact, does not hold like Ben Nanas. We don't say that, we don't say Tfos Loshen Achron. Rather, we say, we look at who's Tophis in what. And again, the fact that Shmuel used the expression Zu Divrei Ben Nanas is a very strong reason to suggest that, in fact, he does disagree with Ben Nanas. So he holds like a Chachamim, and he would say, therefore, that you have to look at who and who's Tophis what. Tosfos points out the Gemara could have also said over here that the fact is by the case of the bathhouse you could also explain that you could say that by first saying 12 dinner per year and then one dinner per month he might be changing his mind or he might be clarifying what he said before but that would still allow Shmuel to agree with Ben Nanas. But here the Gemara is saying that the Gemara used that before as a possible reason to explain why Rav would have to say that the Chachamim disagree with Ben Nanas rather than deriving it from the Mishnah. But here the Gemara doesn't really consider that a solid answer, which is why it doesn't use it over here. Plus the fact, also again, that Rashbam says, the very fact that Shmuel said Zu Divrei Ben Nanas is very strong reason to suggest that he means, and I don't agree with that. So therefore, the Gemara would rather not use an explanation, after all, that says that Shmuel does agree with Ben Nanas. It would rather say, after all, that he does disagree, and he holds with the Chachamim, and it's not a matter of Tfois Loshen Rishon, Tfois Loshen Achron. It's really a matter of who's Toifis. It's really a matter of who currently has the Chazan.
So in the case
of the bathhouse, that's why Shmuel would say, so in the case of the 30 kur, and then in the case of the 30 saw, then Shmuel would say
29.
That the Lekeach is already Toifus in 29 of them, therefore the Merchir can't change his mind and retract from the deal as far as those, only as far as the 30th, which we're in the middle of measuring out right now. In the case of the bathhouse, Shmuel would say it depends whether the landlord came in the beginning, middle, or end of the month, then it's going to matter who is the Muchzik at this point. The Rashbam also goes on to point out in some detail over here that when it comes to a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is going to be like Shmuel. So that in when it comes to dinim mamonis, so here also the halacha is going to be like Shmuel. So not like so Rav had said. So Rav had informed us that in both cases of our Mishnah and of the bathhouse, either way, the Chachamim disagree with Ben Nanas, Rav says over there, in connection with the bathhouse in Bava Metzia, Rav says over there that, we would after all say that Mehader Kohoder, baby, he has in fact changed his mind, and therefore that it means he's saying I want one dinner per month, and that means I want for the 13th month as well. Now the Gemara is going to go on to say actually that Rav himself is going to say that actually if he had been there, he would have disagreed with Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yossi and said that the Maskir was entitled to that full 13th month. However, again, the halacha is not like Rav, the halacha is like Shmuel, so it really depends. On the other hand, actually, the Rashbam says, no, the halacha is actually neither like Rav nor like Shmuel, rather the halacha is like Rav Nachman, because the halacha is like Rav Nachman in Dinim Mamonis. We're there in the Sugya in Bava Metzia, Rav Nachman has a different explanation. He says, similar to Shmuel over here, that you have to look at who has the chazaka. But unlike Shmuel, who's saying the chazaka changes throughout the month, more and more, the month goes by, the socher, the renter, the tenant, is the one who has more and more of the chazaka because he's been there without paying. Rav Nachman says, no, the land is always in the chazaka of its owner. And therefore, even if he comes at the end of the month, then the masker is going to get all the money.
Depends on the Russia is what
the, no, so that's the thing, in other words. So the Rashbam goes on to say that Rav Nachman agrees with Shmuel that there's the suffix about whether Tfois Loshen Rishon or Tfois Loshen Achron, whether, in other words, whether he's changing his mind or whether he's clarifying himself. And on the other hand, unlike Shmuel, who holds the chazaka is going to change throughout the month, Rav Nachman holds the chazaka is always by the landlord. And therefore, the result of that suffix is going to be that we resolve it by giving the rent for that month to the maskir. So that's as far as that. Now an arm Mishnah, therefore, so it comes out, says the Rashbam, an arm Mishnah, the halacha would not be like Ben Nanas. The halacha would be that there would be a suffix and Kauka Becheskas Ba'aleha Emedes, and therefore Yad Mocher Alo Yoyna, he always has the upper hand, like the Rashbam said on Oman Aleph, that it depends whether he gave him too much land or too little. If he gave him too much, then we would say that then we would say you have to return me the extra amount, because I did say midi b'chevel. On the other hand, if you gave him too little, then he's entitled to say, then the mocher is entitled to say you were willing to accept a difference of up to seven and a half kavim per kur, because I did say hein choser hein yeser, and you accepted that. So the result would be, one way or the other, he would be entitled only to, in other words, he'd be, the Lekeach would lose out because we would follow Rav Nachman and say that the karka is in the chazaka of the owner. And again, then within that, you have the machlokas of the Rambam and the Ravid about, about whether does it apply that Amram says generically that it applies whether he gave him the money or not, and the Raivid disagrees and says that there should be at least be a difference as far as whether he paid him the money. So the Gemara continues in this regard. So now, okay, so we've established what Shmuel holds. Now let's go back and figure out what Rav holds. So Omer Rav Huna, Amri Dei Rav, they say in the yeshiva of Rav. Now the Gemara elsewhere explains that when you have this expression, Amri Dei Rav, it usually means Rav Hamnuna, says this. Rav Hamnuna, who was a Talmud of Rav. Tosfos elsewhere talks about that. Over here then, the Rashbam points out. Now you have Rav Hamnuna himself is usually a Talmid of Rav Huna. Now Rav Huna is obviously not going to be quoting something in the name of his Talmud. In other words, it would be that there are two Rav Hamnunas. Tosfos elsewhere discusses that point as well. Anyway, the point is Rav Huna is telling us, they say in the yeshiva of Rav as follows. If a person says you have, for example, people are discussing how much I'm going to pay you for something, and he says istira mea mori. He says I'll pay you an istira, which an istira is otherwise known as a sela medina. A sela is a coin which is worth the same approximately as a shekel akodesh from Tanakh. And you had, in the times of the Gemara, you had two different currency systems that both used the same names, but were one was eight times the value of the other. You have what's called Sela Tsuri, which is the kind of coinage that was minted in the city of Tsur, nowadays in Lebanon. And that kind was more or less pure silver. And then you had what was called Sela Medina, or Kesef Medina, which was minted in Eretz Yisrael, which was 7/8 copper and only 1/8 silver. They both bore the name Sela, and similarly with the other coins with the other denominations. So a Sela Tsuri was worth eight times as much as a Sela Medina. So now another name for a Sela Medina is an Istira. The Rashbam explains over here in a little detail the monetary system they had over there. Anyway, the point is the Istira would usually would also be equivalent to half a dinar in the tzori system, because there were four dinar to the sela. So in the tzori system you would have a sela, then you have 1/4 of that as a dinar. Meanwhile, half of that dinar would be what's called a sela, would be what's called a sela medina. So an istira is the equivalent. So an istira in would be the equivalent of a half a dinar in the tzori system, but it's called a sela in the medina system. Anyway, that amounts to that Rashbam explains in some detail based on the rest of the denominations that I mentioned in Kiddushin and in other places. Then it comes out that should be equivalent to 96 prutas. So now he says, istira mea mori. He says, in istira, 100 coins. So now there are supposed to be 96 prutas in it. Or mea mori istira. So then, if he says istira mea mori, so then we say mea mori. Then it means that he has to pay, 100. Now the word ma is the name of a specific denomination. But here we mean in a looser sense, here we mean prutas. So then he has to pay 100 prutas. An istira is only 96 prutas. Doesn't matter. He said mea mori at the end, and therefore we say that he has to pay 100. Mea mori istira. On the other hand, if he says the other way around, 100 prutas, an istira, then he would only have to pay an istira, namely 96. So the question is, my kamash malon. So what does Rav want to tell us with that? Tfois loshen achron. Is Rav coming to tell us that you go according to the second loshen? Va'omer Rav chodazina. Didn't Rav already say that he holds like Ben Nanus, that you go according to loshen achron, like in our Mishnah? Do omer Rav, I havoi hosam, because Rav says, Now, if I had been there when Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yossi passed in this din that we quoted from the Mishnah before in Bava Metzia about the bathhouse, Havi Yehivna Kula Lamaskir, then I would have given all of it to the, I would have given all the rent for that 13th month to the Maskir, because first Loshen Achron, because he said one gold dinner per month. So then why does Rav have to say this concept also when it comes to the Istira versus the 100 Prutas? The reason why we're using the word ma to mean a pruta, that Ashbam points out, the kind of ma, which means an actual denomination, which is 1/6 of a dinner, is called ma kesef. Here, where he just says ma, then it means small coins, namely prutas.
That was the Russian mar lusula. Says you have to give to the father.
They're the kesef yishkok and morihar habsolis. Morihar is a completely different word than mar. Morihar means that basically they're the price that a person would usually pay in order to marry a woman. Basically, uksup. Anyway. The answer is itmar ha, the answer is we do need both of those statements of Rav. Because if Rav had only said the one and not the other, have amin mihadr kahadrbe. Because in the case of the bathhouse, you could say that he changed his mind. You could say that, again, we said on Omar Aleph, when he says 12 dinner per year, one dinner per month, it could mean that he changed his mind and wants it, first of all, every month, and second of all, that I can break the lease at the end of any month, and therefore, if you want the 13th month, you're going to have to pay for it. Or he may just mean, as we said, that he wants to clarify, I want the rent every month, but I'm willing to throw in the 13th month for free. But here, when it comes to the case of the istira and the 100 ma, so this whole line is, these two lines are in parenthesis because Marshal takes them out, so you could say Maudatema, then in our case over here, though, you could say Perushi Kamafarish, maybe in fact he is clarifying. And the word Perushi Kamafarish, by the way, might have a different meaning over here than it did on Amud Aleph. On Amud Aleph, when we use the words Perushi Kamafarish, it would mean that he's saying the second thing just to clarify the first one. When I said I want 12 gold dinner per year, I actually expect to receive it month by month. But not that I'm taking away the fact that it's 12 per year. I'm not contradicting that. Here we might say, here, one way of understanding Perushi Kamafarish is that he's clarifying and saying, I do want Perushi Kamafarish. I want to clarify and say that what I meant is what I said last. So Kamash Malon, therefore, Rav has to tell us. Now, there was a lot of discussion about what the Gemara means with these couple of lines. So the Rashbam explains like this. Again, when it comes to the bathhouse, Rav might say, you know why I would say, you give it all to the Maskil, because Perushi Kabafarish, he's not changing his mind at all. He wants one dinner per month. So when he's saying, when I said 12 dinner per year, I wasn't talking about a leap year, I was talking about a regular year, and therefore it's one dinner per month. But should it come out to be a leap year, then I do expect the 13th month. We'd rather say that instead of changing his mind, we'd rather say that he's clarifying, much as we learned on Omar Aleph, what various Rishonim say, that if he changed his mind, he would have said, you know what, wait, that's not what I meant, or something to that effect. The fact that he says a second Lashon that partially or completely contradicts the first one, better we should say, Rav says that we should say Perushi Kamafarish, he's coming to explain it. So now, when it comes to the Istira Mea Mai, it's clear that there's a contradiction, because an Istira is only 96. So therefore, we would have to say, says Rav, when he says Istira Mea Mai, it would be that he's saying, Rav would say, since there's no way to make those two statements work with one another, because Istira is shorthand for 96 prutas, so therefore, so Rav is going to say, So therefore, you might have thought that Rav would say you should go according to the Chazaka, as Shmuel had said. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore Rav is informing us that no, he does hold like Ben Nanas, and therefore that you go according to the, you go according to the Loshon Achron. And that would mean, continues the Rashbam, it would mean that the order in which Rav said these dinim is first he would have said about the dinim on Mishnah and about the bathhouse that the Chachamim disagree with Ben Nanas, and afterwards he would have said this istira me'amoy, because I've already told you that Ben Nanas and the Chachamim disagree, you should know I hold like Ben Nanas, and therefore in the case of istira me'amoy, then therefore I hold that he would have to pay 100 because me'amoy came last and twice Loshon Achron. That's Rashbam's own explanation. then he brings from Rashi in Bava Metzia, who explains differently that it's not a matter of tfois loshen achron, because you could say that istira me'amoy means I'm going to give you an extra large istira which is worth 100 prutas, where a normal size istira would be only 96. and the other way around, me'amoy istira would mean I'm going to give you 100 lesser quality prutas, which are equal to 96 normal ones. And then the Rashbam disagrees with that, and he says that doesn't really fit with what we're saying over here. When Rav is saying over here with istira, he's just using istira as shorthand for 96 prutas. It's not like he specifically means the coin called an istira, where we can talk about a bigger or smaller istira. He's saying 96, which are 100, or 100, which are 96, which clearly contradicts each other. So the Rashbam disagrees with that explanation of Rashi. It's not a matter of bigger or smaller coins, and it's not something specific to that case over there. It's rather than in general, Rav holds tfois loshen achron, and that would mean, in other words, in the case of it would mean also in the case of the third, what he would hold. He would hold like bananas, exactly. He would hold like bananas, and furthermore, bananas had said that the bananas had said that you go according to loshen achron.
Also,
the chumse yachloiku. So now, then the Rashbam finishes off in saying, therefore, when it comes also to the matter of the 30 saw, when we said that Rav would say that when he said, kur b'shloshim saw b'sela, then he can change his mind until the last one, since now we're saying that Rav holds tfois loshen achron in all cases, then that would mean, if it was the other way around, if he had said, a saw posela, 30 saw for 30, a kur for 30, then we would say that actually that he would not be koina until he did mashicha on all 30, because then we would say, again, tfois loshen achron. Not like we were saying before, that he would be koina one saw at a time, because not a matter of who's muchzik in it according to Rav, it's strictly a matter of tfois loshen achron. So in that case, he said 30 saw, he said a kur for 30 shet, for 30 sela at the end. So therefore, we would say loshen achron means that it's one bulk purchase of 30 saw, and therefore he could be choiser until the guy does mashicha on all of it. That's all according to the Rashbam. Then Tosfos discusses and gives a different explanation that you could say he brings from the Ri that explains as follows. If you had only Rav's statement as far as the stira and the hundred prutas, then you could say, and you didn't have him tell us about the merchats, where he says, if I had been there, I would have given it all to the master, then you would say Purushi Kamafarish, meaning, in other words, that you would have thought that by the case of the bathhouse, we wouldn't say Tfois Loshen Achron because Purushi Kamafarish. He's only explaining, he's saying 12 gold coins per year, but I'm saying that I expect to be paid monthly rather than in one lump sum at the end of the year. Doesn't mean necessarily that I'm not giving you the 13th month. And therefore, Rav has to tell us also by the Yisturah Me'amoy that he says that it's a matter of tfois loshen achron, and therefore it's not a matter of perushi kamafarish. It's a matter of that we say that we ignore the first thing that he said, and we say mehadra kahadabe. He is in fact changing his mind, and therefore he's entitled to that 13th month. And then Rav goes on to explain, now we have three dinim over here. Why does Rav have to say his opinion by each one of them, and why does Shmuel have to say his opinion by each one of them? So in the case of the istira, you would say, again, you could explain, like Rashi says, that we mean a bigger or smaller istira, and therefore Rav has to clarify that it has nothing to do with that. In the case of the bathhouse, you would say that, again, you could think that Pirushi Kamafarish, or you could say that Rab holds like Rab Nachman, that the reason why the master always gets it is because he has the chazaka on the karka, and therefore we have to be told that no, it's because he holds that, it's because he holds like Ben Nanas, that you always go according to Loshon Hachon. And then he also has to tell us the case of Korba Shloshim, Sobisela. So that clarifies that it's not a matter of chazaka on the karka, because in the case of the 30 saw, he said there's no chazaka on karka, and yet Rav is still saying that the Rishon Kana, and why? Because you go according to Loshon Acher. So that's according to Rav. Then according to Shmuel, who holds that you don't go according to Loshon Acher, and he disagrees with Ben Nanas. So then we have as follows. When in the case of the bathhouse, when Shmuel says that we're talking about when he came in the middle of the month, that's when he has to pay half a month's rent. So that would be, we would say, as the Gemara had said before, that only in that particular case you would say Purushi Kamafarish, and therefore we have to be told that no, it's a matter of chazaka on it. The case of the 30 saw, you might think again Tfos Loshon Achron, and therefore he has to tell us that no, you don't do that. And then when it comes to the bathhouse, when it comes to our Mishnah, he needs to tell us Zu Dibri Ben Nanas, this is what Ben Nanas holds, but I don't agree with it. So each one of them has to say their opinion in all the various cases in order to make it very clear to us, so it comes out very clearly. Rab holds like Ben Nanas, and there's nothing further to talk about, and Shmuel holds Shmuel does not hold like Ben Nanas, so it's always a matter of suffix in all these cases, and therefore you have to go according to who has the chazaka. And again, as the Rashbam had said before, and when it comes to the din of the bathhouse, at least, and when it comes to the din of the field in our Mishnah, really the halacha is not like either Rav nor Shmuel. Rather, the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that the one who has the chazaka on the karka is the one who, unlike Shmuel, who says that the chazaka changes under different circumstances, Rav Nachman is going to say the chazaka is always in the one who owns the land, and therefore, in the case of the bathhouse, he is going to have to pay for that 13th month. And in the case of our Mishnah, we're going to say that either way, the lekeach loses out if he got too little than tough luck, because I said, hein chaser, hein yeser, and if he got too much, you have to return it, because I said, midi b'chevel. And again, subject to the machloikas and subject to the two different things that the Rashbam says, whether he already paid them doesn't make a difference whether he paid the money already or not.
It's complicated.
It is a little complicated, yeah. Well, this is why it says at the end of the Sefta that if a person wants to be wise in Dinim Mamonos, he should learn by Ben Nanas, because if he had the Pashtus, if a person had learned by him, then he would understand, and then Ben Nanas would explain to him all of these details in detail rather than us having to work them out like this. I think I've mentioned before something that the Smeh writes in his introduction to his Pirush. The Smeh, Sefer Me'ir HaSinayim, is one of the major Noisekelev on Shulchan Aruch Chosh and Mishpah. The author of it, Rabbi Yeshua Falek, he was a grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua. He was a great Talmud Chacham in his own right, and his Rav of Krakow and other important positions. Anyway, so he wrote a Pirush on the tour called Prisho Drisha, and he intended to write a Pirush on the whole Shulchan Aruch, but in the event he only had the chance to write on Chosh and Mishpah. Anyway, in his introduction, he points out, why is it that Torah Baal Peh wasn't written down in the first place? Why was it Baal Peh? And he says one point is because there are details within Torah Shabbat Peh that it's very difficult to get all the details in writing. You have to learn face to face with a Rebbe, and then you can get all the clarifications. And he gives an example from the halachas of lulav, as far as the halachas of waving the lulav, where you have opinions and opinions within opinions and opinions within the opinions of exactly how to wave the lulav, all based on a statement in the Yerushalmi, which again, because it's written down for us in the Yerushalmi, and it's impossible in writing to capture everything you want to say, then therefore we have all these inherent sfeikas about what exactly the Yerushalmi meant and what the Rif Rish meant in his understanding of the Yerushalmi and so on and so forth, whereas if you learn directly from a Rebbe, then you would be able to get all these things answered on the spot. So in the same way, over here, we just had to work through and then break our heads over understanding Benanas and understanding Rav and understanding Shmuel, whereas if you learn by him, face to face, then you get it all clarified for you, yeah.